important what you're getting ready to see. Everybody in the country needs to see it and needs to understand what's going on. You see, in the Bible tonight, the Lord never said there was going to be some great worldwide or even national revival before the Lord comes back in the rapture. The people who teach Joel chapter 2 as being a great revival in the church, they got their Bible all mixed up. In the last days I'll pour out my Spirit on all flesh. It has nothing to do with the days that me and you are living in right now. Paul was the apostle to the Gentiles. This is the last epistle that Paul wrote before they cut his head off. You heard me. I'm telling you, they beheaded those Christians in New Testament time, and we're no better or no different than that. They're beheading Christians tonight. The only thing that's stopping it from coming here yet is the grace and protection of God, prayers of God's people, and the United States Constitution. And I'm going to tell you tonight, I believe. I really wish I didn't believe this, but I do. I wish it wasn't true, but I believe that our country is headed for some bad, bad days. You cannot spit in the face of God and rebel against, kick the Bible out of the schools, ordain same-sex marriages, go against everything the Bible says, and expect God to bless our country. We can't expect it. And a lot of people say, well, still American. I know. Thank God they still some Christians, just like that salt, just like Lot in Sodom, just like in those days, the salt, thank God, is still here. But I'm telling you, ladies and gentlemen, there is no telling what me and you is going to see before we leave here. I hope and pray that Jesus comes soon and takes us out. If He don't, my grandkid sitting over there tonight is going to grow up in a different world than me and you grew up in. Different country. And I'm going to show you why. Look at 2 Timothy chapter 3 and verse number 13. Watch out for the 13s. 2 Timothy 3:13. Here's the prophecy of the last days, right before Paul's last epistle, before he was beheaded. But evil men and seducers shall wax worse and worse. It's not going to get better. It's going to get worse. You say, well, that's pessimistic. No, that's biblicist, and it's reality. It's not pessimist, it's realist. There ain't no use saying the sun's cold. It's hot. There ain't no use saying this world's going to get better. It ain't going to. Now, here's what me and you's got to do. Verse 14. But continue thou in the things which thou hast learned and hast been assured of, knowing of whom you've learned them. And that from a child, I learned it when I was a child, thou hast known the Holy Scriptures, which are able to make thee wise unto salvation through faith, which is in Christ Jesus. You know what He said? You know what He's saying? He said, you just keep on believing what you've been taught since you were a little child. Hang on to what God's give you. If God's give you the truth, and you're saved, and you're born again, hang on to it, brother. Hang on to it. Don't let go. Don't be shaken in your faith. Now, ladies and gentlemen, we're facing some dark times. If a few drops of rain will keep you out of church, or a faucet will keep you out of church, y'all, you're in real trouble when it really gets... What are you going to do when it really gets bad? What are you going to do when they take our tax-exempt status? What are you going to do when they pass a law that says we can't even say anything against homosexuality? That if the Lord don't come, that time is coming. You do understand that, don't you? We're not in the 1950s no more. We're not in the 1980s no more. This is 2015. We're done seeing things in our country we never would have believed we would have seen. Alright? Somebody help me with the lights back there, and I'm going to show you just about 5 minutes of what should shock you. Should shock you. And I want to show you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, and Andy will get my volume there in just a minute. I want to show you this, and I want you to use your head now and think just a little bit. Go ahead. That's right. Get them off. Make sure we got plenty of volume. The volume will hit in just a second. The world is changing. It's not the same world we used to live in. The global culture our children inherit will be vastly different than what it is today. Watch this tonight. You are about to witness a report on the world's changing demographics. Down just a little bit.
According to research, in order for a culture to maintain itself for more than 25 years, there must be a fertility rate of 2.11 children per family.
All right, does everybody understand that? For a culture just to remain even, for us to keep the same amount of people in the United States, every family has to have at least 2.1 children. Two parents, two children. Point one, because somebody dies, somebody gets killed, or there's an accident, or somebody don't have any kids. You have to have 2.1 just to break even. Remember that.
With anything less, the culture will decline. Historically, no culture has ever reversed a 1.9 fertility rate.
1.9 fertility rate per family has never been reversed. Once a culture has 1.9 children per family, the society disappears.
At 1.3, impossible to reverse, because it would take 80 to 100 years to correct itself, and there is no economic model that can sustain a culture during that time. In other words, if two sets of parents each have one child, there are half as many children as parents. If those children have one child, then there are one-fourth as many grandchildren as grandparents. If only 1 million babies are born in 2006, it's hard to have 2 million adults enter the workforce in 2026.
All right, can you understand what they're saying here? And you got to remember now, this was about 7 years ago when these statistics were gathered. It's way worse now.
As the population shrinks, so does the culture. As of 2007, the fertility rate in France was 1.8.
That means France is disappearing. Now, the United States is growing. Canada is growing. You know how it's growing? Immigrants. It's people from other countries. Nothing wrong with that. Anybody come here, come peacefully, hallelujah, praise God. I ain't got a problem with that. Come legally, come peacefully, it's fine. But here's the problem. You're getting ready to see it.
England, 1.6.
England's going.
1.3.
Greece is going.
Germany, 1.3.
Germany's going.
Italy, 1.2. Spain, 1.1. Across the entire European Union of 31 countries, the fertility is a mere 1.38. Historical research tells us these numbers are impossible to reverse. In a matter of years, Europe as we know it will cease to exist. Yet the population of Europe is not declining.
Now, did you hear that? Even though the Europeans are shrinking, the population is not. Why? Here's why.
Why? Immigration. Islamic immigration. Of all population growth in Europe since 1990, 90% has been Islamic immigration. Friend.
Hear what he said? 90% of the population increase since 19, whatever he said there, has been Islamic. Here's why.
1.8 children per family. Muslims, 8.1. In southern...
Now, can you get a good look at that right there? Get a good look at that right there. 8 children per family, others are shrinking.
France, traditionally one of the most populated church regions in the world, there are now more mosques than churches. 30% of children ages 20 and younger are Islamic. In the larger cities such as Nice, Marseille, and Paris, That number has grown to 45%. By 2027, one in five Frenchmen will be Muslim. In just 39 years, France will be an Islamic republic.
Wow.
In the last 30 years, the Muslim population of Great Britain rose from 82,000 to 2.5 million, a 30-fold increase. There are over 1,000 mosques, many of them former churches. In the Netherlands, 50% of all newborns are Muslim. And in only 15 years, half of the population of the Netherlands will be Muslim. In Russia, there are over 23 million Muslims. That's one out of five Russians. 40% of the entire Russian army will be Islamic in just a few short years. Currently in Belgium, 25% of the population and 50% of all newborns are Muslim. The government of Belgium has stated 1/3 of all European children will be born to Muslim families by 2025, just 17 years away. The German government, the first to talk about this publicly, recently released a statement saying, "The fall in the German population can no longer be stopped. Its downward spiral is no longer reversible. It will be a Muslim state by the year 2050.
Hear what that? Hear that? Germany will be a Muslim state by 2050.
Muammar al-Gaddafi of Libya said, "There are signs that Allah will grant victory to Islam in Europe without swords, without guns, without conquest. We don't need terrorists. We don't need homicide bombers. The 50-plus million Muslims in Europe will turn it into a Muslim continent within a few decades." There are currently 52 million Muslims in Europe. The German government said that number is expected to double in the next 20 years to one...
That was 8 years ago. It's way more than that now.
104 million.
Way more.
The numbers tell a similar story. Right now, Canada's fertility rate is 1.6, nearly a full point below what is required to sustain a culture. And Islam is now the fastest growing religion. Between 2001 and 2006, Canada's population increased by 1.6 million. 1.2 of those, immigration.
Hear that? Canada's population increased by 1.6 million, and 1.2 million of them was people coming from over there to here, to there, to Canada.
In the United States, the current fertility...
Here we go, our country.
...rate of American citizens is 1.6. With the influx of the Latino nations, the rate increases to 2.11, the bare minimum required to sustain a culture. In 1970, there were 100,000 Muslims in America. Today, there are over 9 million.
And that was 2008. That was before all this stuff started. That was when Obama just was elected, right? 8, 9, 10, 11, 12, somewhere along in there. What do you think it is tonight? And I'm not talking about, I'm not saying all Muslims are bad or anything. I'm sure there's some good peace loving. That's what it's supposed to mean, peace. But I'm telling you, radical Islamic terrorists are going to kill you and me if they can have a chance.
The world is changing. It's time to wake up.
I won't take time to show you the rest of this. I got a whole bunch more stuff in here.
3 years ago, a meeting of 24 Islamic organizations was held in Chicago. The transcripts of that meeting showed in detail their plans to evangelize America through journalism, politics, education, and more.
That was years ago, and they evangelized America through politics.
Said,
wow.
We must prepare ourselves for the reality that in 30 years, there will be 50 million Muslims living in America. The world that we live in is not the world in which our children and grandchildren will live. The Catholic Church recently reported that Islam has just surpassed their membership numbers. Some studies show that at Islam's current rate of growth, in 5 to 7 years, it will be the dominant religion of the world. As believers, we call upon you to join the effort to share the gospel message with the changing world.
All right, we'll stop right there now. Give me the lights, please. And I'm going to take just a minute tonight and say, what should me and you do? What are we going to do? What does the Bible say to do? Paul told Timothy and them people, he said this. He said, now when it comes, and it's coming, he said, evil men and seducers, we're going to wax worse and worse. We're going to have to accept the fact them kids sitting over tonight will not grow up in the same world as me and you grew up in. You know why? A lot of times, church members don't even care. Christian people don't even care. I'm happy. I got a nice car. I got money. I got clothes. Who cares? Let the world go to hell. And that's exactly what's killing us here in this country is apathy. Apostasy is going on. Apathy is just having a don't care attitude. We've got clothes. We've got a nice car. We've got money. I ain't going to fast, man. I'm not going to go visiting. I'm not going to pray and witness and be a soul winner. Are you kidding? Listen, the Bible said continue what we've learned. I'm telling you tonight, we may see some dark days. I was listening to a preacher from Knoxville, Tennessee the other day, and he was really preaching. He told his congregation, and I hope this isn't true, but he told them, he said, I expect to go to jail in my lifetime for what I preach and believe. I hope that's not true. I want to be willing to if it comes to that. But I want us to be able to keep our church. I want them kids over there to grow up and one day bring their husbands and their wives in here and their kids grow up and a standing scene, glory, 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 somebody touch me. I want us to be able to have revivals and camp meetings and youth rallies. I want us to be able to go to camp and enjoy the things of God and sing on the bus and like we always have. Amen? But I'm telling you tonight, ladies and gentlemen, we are losing our freedom in this country if somebody don't stand up and say, I'll pray. I'll work. I know you've heard this. You've heard this. And you say, don't wake me up, preacher. You're like somebody laying in the bed, reaching over, hitting the snooze button on the alarm clock. Don't bother me. But I'm telling you tonight, we're here tonight. We're losing our nation right out from under us if somebody don't get back to where we need to be. I'm going to say three things about it tonight, and I'm going to let you go. These three things. You know what we're going to do? What we can do? Number one, we can get our heart right. I can't stop terrorists from coming into this country. I'm not sitting in the White House making laws. I'm not up there in the judicial system, in the House of Representatives or anywhere like that. But I tell you what I can do. I can get Danny Castle's heart right. I can get in the altar and I can say, God, I want my heart right. And you can too. Listen, you don't want to be backslid. This ain't the time to be backslid. This ain't the time to be fooling around with worldliness and sin. This ain't the time to be falling in love with the world, with the Dallas Cowboys. This ain't the time to be falling in love with the Panthers. This ain't the time to be falling in love with the world. It's time to get our heart right. We've trifled long enough. We've laid out of church enough time. Amen. We've left the Bible laying around too many times. Amen. I noticed something the other day. I was running down there where I was staying near Charlotte. I was running around this real big shot community, and they had one of these supposedly trying to be mega churches. And it had the sign out front like all of them's got. Sunday morning, 11:15. Sunday morning, 9:15. That's all the church they have. They have a Sunday morning early service so you can, quote, get it over with and then have the rest of the day do what you want to. And then for the regular people that don't want to get up, they have 11:15 service. A lot of you would never even make it to that. And you know, and they come in, it's for you to get a little religion and then go the rest of the week. And I'm going to tell you tonight, brother, listen, you hear me and you hear me well. The Sunday night service is important. Our Sunday night service is very important. It's in the Bible. Jesus came. The disciples came on the first day of the week. They met that morning. Thomas wasn't with them. And Jesus came in their midst. That evening, they met on Sunday evening. It's also over there in the Word of God, several places where He said, so much the more as you see the day approaching. We shouldn't be backing off on our church attendance. We should be going more and more and more. Sincere repentance is Charles Spurgeon said, is continual. You know what Charles Spurgeon said? He said, a Christian continually repents. That means we go constantly saying, Lord, forgive me. Lord, help me. God, have mercy. God, have mercy. If that's not your attitude, it should be. You shouldn't have this cocky attitude of, well, I'm saved. It don't matter. I'm sick of the world anyway. Let the world go to hell. I don't care. Our attitude should say, God, help me. God, help me. God, help me. People, we only got one life. We only got one shot at this thing. Let's rear back and hit it hard. By the grace of God, I want to preach harder, live right, be a witness, serve God. I'd stop the store and get gas to get down here a while ago, and there was a car pulled in over there beside us from was it Wisconsin? And a bunch of little preppy looking people got out of it, and I hollered at her. I said, "Give me a track, give me a track, give me a track." And I tell them people wasn't want no track. He was staring at my bumper sticker. That guy was. And on the bumper sticker said, "Eternity in hell is a long time to be wrong." I'm telling you, that's offensive to a lot of people. But I'm telling you, it'll ring in somebody's ears one of these days. Eternity is a long time to be wrong. It is a long time to be wrong. Eternity's forever. And never, and never, and never. I'm telling you tonight, I gave them people a tract. That girl said, "No, thank you." I tried to give a guy in the airport one the other day. I said, "Here, give you something to read." He said, "I'm good." I said, "You are not." I didn't say that to him, but I said, "I get sick of people saying I'm good. You ain't good. Don't tell me you're good. I don't want to hear you say you're good. Oh, I'm good. You are not. You're bad." Next time somebody says, "How are you today?" "I'm bad. How are you?" At least be honest about it and quit lying. You ain't good. There's none good. No, not one. I say, I can't stand here if people say that. I'm good. You are not. Shut up. I'm telling you tonight, brother, we need to get our heart right. 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 You know what kills me? Christians are selling out just for a little paycheck. Or a little money. Or a flirt with some guy at work. Or a flirt with some girl at the office. Selling out everything. Their values. Running off leaving their kids and families. And running off leaving their husbands or wives. And just running out on God. We ought to get our heart right. This guy runs a store. And he was actually boycotting these. He was on a moral issue. And some of his customers called him and they said, "We're going to quit buying from you if you don't quit taking that stand on this moral issue." And you know what that man told him? He said, "I got news for you." He said, "My goods in my store's for sale, but my character is not." Amen. He said, "My goods in the store's for sale. My character is not." Every person in this church here tonight, you ought to go to work, you ought to look your kids in the eye, your husband, your wife, and say, "My character is not for sale." It's not. We ought to get our heart right. We ought to get our heart right. Amen. Playtime is about over, folks. No nation ever got away with what we're doing, and ours is no different. Number two. You know what we ought to do? We ought to get our homes right. It's time to clean house. Amen. When's the last time you heard of a church getting together and having a big burn-in like they did in the book of Acts, where kids brought their rock and roll music and parents brought their country music and people brought dirty books and burned them? When's the last time you heard it? Oh, I know you think it's a joke. I know you think it's funny now, but it wasn't funny back years ago when I first got saved. I'd go preach that rock music play somewhere, brother, and people bring all their tapes and CDs and stuff and burn them in a trash can. You say, "Don't you think that's a little bit wonderful?" Yeah, I do. It is. It's great. It's wonderful. I'm telling you, we need to get our homes right. Our homes should have a little bit of heaven in it. We shouldn't be fussing and fighting and arguing all the time. The Bible ought to be in our hand. You ought to read your Bible every morning. I said every morning when you get up. Let me give you a couple of quotes. D.L. Moody, quote, "I never saw a useful Christian who was not a student of the Bible." I said, D.L. Moody said, "I never saw a Christian that was worth anything that was not a student of the Bible." Another great leader said, "A Christian who is careless with the Bible is careless in his Christian living." I believe that. If bad times are coming, do right. Now, you've heard me say this before. The way to be where you ought to be tomorrow is do what you ought to do today. The reason you ain't what you ought to be today You didn't do what you were supposed to do yesterday. If I do what I'm supposed to do today, I'll be where I got to be tomorrow. Now, you can do what you want to. But be on the safe side, I've been praying. And I've been praying. I mean, we hear it all the time. A pastor over in Iran or somewhere is locked up for his faith. They kill him. Cut their heads off. You say, that'll never happen here, preacher. I hope you're right. I really hope you're right. But I'll tell you what I'm doing. I'm praying, God, if it ever does come, God, if it ever does, God, give us grace to stand with us. Do we believe? What do we really believe? What we say we believed all these years? Is God really real? Is the Bible really true? I mean, or we just go to church because it's a habit? I mean, how long has it been since you felt the joy of the Lord bubbling up in your soul? How long has it been since you just been going down the road and God bless you and you start crying? You ain't going to do that listening to country. Heard an old preacher on the radio this morning. He's preaching. I mean, he was high in the Bible. He was high. I mean, he was cutting the mustard. That's what the old preachers used to say. And he's on there and he said, you know what? He said, I remember when I was a boy. He said, my old daddy and my old mama, are y'all listening to me? He said, they'd be going down the road. He said, Lord, get on them. He said, they'd start shouting going down the road. Start shouting. Driving down the highway. How long's it been since you know anybody that started shouting going down the highway? Some of you have. I have. I've done it before. I've shouted out in the yard. I've shouted in the bedroom or in the closet before when God got real. You better get back to having God real in your life. Get your homes right. If hard times are coming, I tell you how to get ready for them. Get your heart right, get your home right, and do the right thing today. Cut the junk off your TV. Get rid of the dirty movies. Say amen. Heard a guy say another day, he said, now we watched this movie and it was real good, but I'm telling you, it had like 90-something cuss words in the first one. Listen, brother, it ain't that good. You don't need somebody pumping junk and filthy words into your head 100-something times just so you can see an airplane fly over a mountain. Or Tarzan swing out in the jungle somewhere. What's wrong with us tonight? How do we have an appetite for the filth of this world and expect God to bless us? I'm telling you, it don't work that way. We need to get our homes right. That means your internet. Get the dirty off your internet, don't get on it. Let your wife check what you've been looking at, if you can do that. Or let your husband check what you've been looking at on the internet. I tell you tonight, it's a shame that people's got such dirt in our lives. I'm talking about Christian people. If you get mad, it's because you're guilty and you know your conscience is bothering you. You ought to appreciate me telling you tonight. Number three, we ought to get our hope right. We ought to get our hope right. And I'll say three things about this and I'm done. Four, actually. Three things and then the final thing, I'm done. Our hope, first of all tonight, is not in the government. Our hope is not in the government. Brother, if we'd spend as much time praying for the politicians and praying for revival and witnessing and they're on bus route and soul winning and trying to get people saved as we did sitting around worried about who's going to win a political debate, it don't matter. I mean, listen, if bad, 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 worse, 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 terrible, more terrible, that's all it is. I mean, the Lord's coming either way. The Antichrist is coming either way. One world government's coming either way. One world monetary system is coming either way. Our hope ain't in the government. I know people say if we could just get so-and-so elected. Listen, it's so rigged up now, a man that's right with God can't get elected. Because if he's right, he'll tell what he believes, and if he tells what he believes, they'll crucify him. You can't be right and win be president. Them days are gone. Now I know some of y'all sit there and say, oh, don't talk like that, Brother Denny. If we just had brother so-and-so and wife, yeah, that would be great, and that would be wonderful. But wake up, open your eyes, brother. It ain't going to happen. Man stands for what's right nowadays. Lord have mercy. All you got to do, and I'm not telling you who to vote for. You toss a coin. I don't know. Hey, someone I wish would get it. They ain't got a dog's change. But usually you can tell whoever the news media is against, that's probably the best man for the job. Because they're led by the devil. I know it's on the internet, and I know I'll get people will hate me. Somebody put on the internet, somebody ought to cut my tongue out. Somebody put on the internet, they ought to kill me. Glory to God, I'm glad to be in the same company as the Apostle Paul and Peter and the guys that I'm telling you tonight, brother, we need to get our hope right. My hope ain't in politics tonight. They can't straighten out. They can't even straighten out their own budget. They're getting us in debt head over heels. It's unbelievable. The national debt of this country is unbelievable. It'll never get straightened out. The Antichrist will come and take over this thing before it's over with. My hope ain't in the government. My hope, number two, ain't in gold. Hear these commercials all the time. Get gold, get gold, get gold. I want to tell you what the Bible says about that gold. The Bible said, weep and howl, you rich men, for your miseries that shall come upon you. Your gold is canker, brother. I don't care if you've got that choir full of gold. You can't eat it. When the food source is gone and the food's gone, you can't eat money. I'm telling you, your hope better not be in gold. Your hope, I mean, ain't nothing wrong. There's nothing wrong with working hard, storing up, getting your retirement plan, insurance. I believe in all of that. It's okay. But my hope tonight is not in gold. Aisle number three, my hope tonight is not in goods. I mean, my hope tonight is not in, well, we got this, and I've got a nice house, and I've got plenty of land. And I know people's like that. I'll get me three or four shotguns, and we'll store up plenty of ammunition, and I've got a guard. You can't hold the whole world off. That ain't where my hope is. Ain't nothing wrong with having you 7 or 8 acres of land and know how to make a garden and get you a shotgun. Nothing wrong with that. You can't live like that forever. I know plenty of people say, but if they try to come get my gun, how many are you going to kill? 3 or 4 before they get you and put you in jail? That ain't where my hope is. My hope's not in the government. My hope's not in gold. My hope's not in goods. My hope is in God. Bible said, blessed hope and the glorious appearing of the great God and our Savior, Jesus Christ. Hallelujah, brother, look for the Lord. I'm not looking for the Antichrist. I'm looking for the real Christ from heaven who shall change our vile body that it might be fashioned like unto His glorious body. Hallelujah, one of these blessed days, Jesus is going to say, come on home, church. That's my hope tonight. I don't know about you. Amen. Here's what somebody said, and I'm done. You take care of your life, and God will take care of your death. You know who said that? George Whitefield. You take care of your life, and God will take care of your death. When God looks at you on the judgment day, He won't be looking for medals, degrees, or diplomas. He's looking for scars. He's looking for scars. No, Paul looked up there in that time and he said, I'm now ready to be offered. And the time of my departure is at hand. Henceforth there is laid up for me a crown of righteousness. Not only for me, but unto all them that love His appearing. I'm telling you, that's where our hope is tonight. Our society, as we know it, is changing that fast. Technology, the internet, in the technological age that we're living in, is changing society so fast you can't even keep up with it. And you know what Paul said? Continue in what you've always believed, knowing of whom you've learned them. Stay with the stuff. Get your kids around and say, listen, we're going to believe in God in this house. We're going to trust Jesus. And He'll get you, take you through one of these days. Let's stand with our heads bowed. Every head bowed and every eye closed tonight. No one's talking, no one's moving, no one's leaving, every head.